could be. Who knows? There's something due any day. I will know right away, soon as it shows. It make 'em cannonballing down through the sky, gleaming its eye, bright as a rose. Who knows? It's only just out of reach, down the block on a beach, under a tree. I got a feeling there's a miracle due, gonna come true, coming to me.
Hi, my name is Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California, for over 28 years, and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center. I'd like to welcome you all this week to my radio show, Attitude Adjustment, where I interview inspiring and motivational guests on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We stretch your limits as to what is possible. Each week we tackle an issue and share how to create a healthier lifestyle, live without pain, and embrace small nutritional and wellness changes that make a big difference. This week, I'm very proud to welcome Kimberly Schramm. Kimberly, are you there?
I'm there, here, Dr. Vargas.
Well, we're so glad to have you here today, and I would love for my listeners to learn more about you before we get into some questions. So Kimberly is a marketing professional who combines a gift for strategic thinking with creativity and intuition. Kimberly, I love that. So you're a very intuitive young lady, yes?
Yes, I am.
I can't wait to hear it. Over the past decade, she has created and implemented effective marketing programs that produced results. Her clients look to her for out-of-the-box thinking that helps them stay on top of mind with their customers. How does she do it, you might ask? By working with them to identify and redefine their unique story proposition. And I love that because every place I go, there people are always saying you have to have that unique, that uniqueness about you. So that's wonderful. She's here today to talk about her upcoming book about personal and career reinvention. It's called Like a Boomerang, Stories of Reinvention, Inspiration, and Success. Kimberly holds an MBA from the University of North Carolina, but she really learned everything she knows about creative, effective marketing programs from the time she spent as the story lady at her local library. Always seeking the best and most effective ways to get her clients in the spotlight, she recently completed an SEO and social media certification through JM Internet Group. Kimberly is an accomplished writer, speaker, trainer. She's a member of multiple organizations, including the Public Relations Society of America, the American Marketing Association. She's an active member of Connected Women of Influence, the National Association of Women Business Owners, and Toastmasters. So, Kimberly, with a background like you have, how did you even think of writing your book? How did that come about?
Okay, well, I have a lifelong love of the written word. I started reading at about age 4. I had an older sister who had already gone to school, and I really started, I always tagged along after her. So I actually cannot remember a time when I wasn't reading. Of course, my mother is a prolific reader, and she always read to us. So, you know, I have just like a really intense connection to stories. And I come from Southern Appalachia. I grew up in North Carolina. And you know, there's a culture of stories there. I remember my great-grandmother, who lived to be 98 years old, used to sit on my grandmother's porch in a rocking chair and tell stories. You know, she lived to be 98. She was always, you know, just really quick. She never, you know, she never got dementia. She never got any of those. I mean, she could tell you stories about virtually everyone. Of course, everyone in the area was related to us by blood or marriage. But I just always remember sitting, even as a young child, sitting there listening to her tell these stories. And so I've always just really been fascinated with how stories connect us. And then I went to college and I studied business, but I always sort of had, you know, one foot in the literature department. I still always, you know, loved to read. After college, I worked for a couple of years as a story lady at the local library reading stories to 3- and 4-year-olds. And it was just such wonderful experience to look in their faces and see them just really, you know, so enthralled with my words. So I went, you know, left that and went off and did many other things, including, you know, career in banking, which is a whole other story.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I never really lost that love of the, you know, of words. And then, you know, I was in the sales side of banking and was really successful at that. But then, you know, as time went on, I moved more onto the marketing side. And
okay.
You know, marketing is really about storytelling. So I feel like I've come full circle almost.
Absolutely. So getting back to the stories of your grandmother, mm-hmm. Have you written stories down that she told, or other family members written things down so that you could pass it on to the future generations?
I've started a memoir. It's about the memories in my grandmother's kitchen. She was a famous cook. She was one of those cooks that never had a recipe book. I remember one of my cousins was getting married, and so we were having a baby shower and wedding shower, and somebody said, "Well, what do you want from Grandma? What do you want Grandma to pass along?" She said, "Oh, her recipes." So my grandmother said, "Well, you know, her biscuits." She said, "Well, you just take a handful of flour,"
yes.
And you know, and so I actually she never had recipes. She just had it all, you know, stored in her head. But I have really wonderful memories of the cooking she did, and she always grew a garden. And so, yeah, there's definitely a book in there about my memories of, you know, being
that's wonderful.
In the country farmhouse. Yeah.
So how far are you from having your book published?
My goal is to publish in the fall.
Very cool. And so this book, I'm sure you're going to tell us more because I'm very excited. Is the book of interviews of people and their life stories, or and how people reinvented themselves? Could you explain a little bit more?
Certainly. Okay. The current book I'm working on is about people reinventing themselves. You know, I'm a baby boomer, and you know the baby boomer cohort is quite large. About, I think, 22%. Of Americans fall into that demographic. And, you know, we're reinventing aging. Just the other day, I subscribed to AARP magazine. There was a title on the cover, like, you know, boomers are reinventing old. Mm-hmm. So we are definitely, as we have with every other age group, we're reinventing what it means to move into your retirement years or whatever. So I do a lot of business networking. And through the last couple of years, I've just met really fascinating people, and many of them have reinvented themselves. They've left a corporate job. You know, several people I've interviewed left either teaching or nursing or just, you know, traditional careers, and they've reinvented themselves in a lot of fascinating ways. As a matter of fact, this is such a cultural phenomenon that there are a couple of websites. There was one I was just came across the other day. It's called Encore.org.
Could you repeat that? Encore.org. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's all about people over 50 and the ways they've reinvented themselves. Many have gone on to, you know, start not-for-profit organizations. As a matter of fact, one of the people that's in my queue to interview just did that very thing. You know, she was really passionate about a cause, and she reinvented herself as the founder of a not-for-profit. And so that's one path that I've seen people take. And then also people, you know, sometimes driven by different kinds of necessity. Sometimes it's a mental and emotional necessity, you know. But sometimes it is, you know, it's a, you know, financial necessity. So people have many reasons for reinventing themselves. And it's, you know, because I love stories, it's just really fascinating. And I'm just having so much fun on this journey of meeting people and hearing their stories.
So what are the three top reasons why people reinvent themselves? You mentioned a few. What were the three most common ones that you're coming across now?
Okay. Well, like the one thing that's common is that people have some sort of passion that drives them. Sometimes it's, as I mentioned, you know, it's a cause that they're very passionate about. I've talked to a number of people that had that drive. And for some people, it really is an emotional a thing. They decide, you know, mm-hmm. I cannot spend another day in this office. And usually people are in a career that they were happy with at one time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've changed, things have changed. And so I see that people just say, you know, I have got to do something else. I'm just totally burned out. You know, the long hours, the travel, whatever it is, they just really feel like it's time to move on. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's financial necessity. Sometimes people had, you know, counted on being in a particular job or career, and then they go in one day and it's thank you, but, you know.
Sure. Absolutely.
It's time for you to move on. So, yeah.
People,
so that's,
and I'm sure you're coming across people at over 50 or so that mm-hmm. you're, like you're saying, they're giving them their walking paper saying, see you later, hiring mm-hmm. the younger people, and mm-hmm. that over 50 crowd has to reinvent themselves. So mm-hmm. I would love for you to share some very specific stories about challenges that some of the people are coming up with as they're reinventing themselves.
Well, one of the things that comes up for people, and this is kind of interesting because it you know, sort of addresses my background and my expertise, is that people sometimes feel like they are very passionate about what it is they're doing, and they open their doors, and then they don't realize that you have to do things to spread the word. You have to really be out there proactively, you know, generating customers. So that's one of the things that people don't realize. Whenever you become an entrepreneur, you are suddenly in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what it is you do, people do not beat a path through your door. You know, the old thing is like, if you build a better mousetrap, well, that's not true. If when you build a better mousetrap and you let everyone know about it, then they'll beat a path through your door. So mm-hmm. so that's one of the challenges that that people talk frequently about. And then also, a lot of the people I have interviewed came out of a structured environment. Like, say, for example, teaching. You know, I have like a pretty good percentage of the people that that I'm working with in the interviews that were teachers, and that is an extremely structured environment. You know, you have like a certain time you have to be there. You have a certain number of minutes you have to deliver your message to your class, and you have a certain period of break, and then you have like X number of things you have to complete. So you have like this totally structured environment, and then you leave that, and suddenly you have to be perpetually reinventing yourself on a daily basis. You have to figure out, you know, what has to be done, mm-hmm. what's your timeline, that sort of thing. So people have to really get savvy with time management if they weren't before, because sometimes when you've been floating along for a number of years in a service, like a day what other people have set your schedule, then you have to deal with that.
And that certainly is a challenge, because so many people, if they're working for somebody else, they have their schedule, they're given, and then all of a sudden that structure is taken away. How do people
exactly.
deal with that, Kimberly? Or what kind of advice should I say that you give your clients that you work with to overcome those time challenges?
Well, one thing that personally really works for me is calendaring. And, you know, I love everything electronic. I have an iPhone that's like a part of my body. And I have, you know, I have Outlook with calendars and reminders and all that. But one thing that really works for me is just like an old-fashioned piece of paper mm-hmm. where I write things. I'm a very kinesthetic learner. And there's just, for me, something about, you know, handwriting things. So every Sunday evening, I spend some time like really physically planning out my week as far as the specific things I'm going to be doing every day. And that really helps me. It helps me. Like I say, it causes a connection between, you know, the mind and the body. And I think that's one of the most powerful bits of advice. I got that from a coach that I worked with a few years back. So that's really important. And also to sit down periodically and really evaluate, you know, the things, the specific daily activities you have to have completed. I'm a big picture person, and so are most mm-hmm. of the entrepreneurs that I work with. And so for us big picture visionary people, you know, actually keeping things concrete is very, very important. So those
Got
are some two things that I feel like that are critical.
Kimberly, we're going to be taking a break in just a little bit, but along this topic, is there anything else, another challenge? I would love to hear another challenge that maybe you see that comes up very commonly with your clients.
I think part of it that people have to really learn how to deal with is balance, because mm-hmm. when you work for yourself, you can't really let your job or your business overtake your entire life in a way that it doesn't happen when you have a regular 9-to-5. You know, many people, and I did, when I was so interesting, when I was in a 9-to-5 job, I still took it home with me. I still, you know, woke up at 2 a.m. thinking about work problems and all that. But once you become, particularly when you're a solopreneur, that can be a real issue. So you really have to learn how to compartmentalize things somewhat. when it goes back to the calendaring, you know, personally, I try to keep a schedule. I have like a work day, and then I try to wrap things up and at least have a sometime every day that I don't think about business. I don't, you know, I'm not in my head going through my to-do list for the next day. So
Got
I think
it.
That's really important.
Great. Thank you so much. We are going to be taking a break, and we will be back with Kimberly Schramm for more wonderful, inspiring information.
Glad you are able to be with us today. We are taking a short break. If you would like to ask our guests a question during the next segment of our show, please contact innerlightradio@yahoo.com or call 310-928-7733. As a doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California for over 27 years and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center, my staff and I are compassionate health experts. Through our integrative approach, we create miraculous breakthroughs in your physical and emotional health using cutting-edge technologies. Along with our inspirational and healing touch, we customize wellness packages to optimize your quality of life so that you can live your best life without pain. You are welcome to contact Dr. Iris by going to her website, www.driris.com. Looking forward to sharing this powerful second part of our show today.
I'd like to welcome everybody back to Attitude Adjustment. My name is Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, and I have the pleasure today of being here with Kimberly Schramm. She is in the middle of writing a book called Like a Boomerang, Stories of Reinvention, Inspiration, and Success. And we have been here talking about some of the challenges that come up for people in the process of reinventing themselves, like time management, learning balance, how to really organize your daily activities, looking at the big picture, the whole marketing of marketing yourself versus working for a specific company. So I would love, Kimberly, for you to share a little bit about how do you help your clients in developing their unique story proposition or USP? I hear this so much, how important that is, and I'd love for you to share some information about that.
I would be more than happy to. Well, I really, you know, as I mentioned, I love hearing people's stories, and so that's sort of how I approach it. You know, I have this huge innate curiosity. As a matter of fact, one of my key drivers is, you know, curiosity. So when I sit down with clients or anyone for that matter, I just really like to learn about them, and that's sort of the key to your powerful story is what makes you different and unique. A while back, I was called in to an office that had realtors. They all needed internet bios, and so you know, there's like 10 people in the office. And at first, I took the job. I was very excited about it because I love meeting people. But then I said, you know, there's 10 people. They all have the same career. They all pretty much do the same thing. You know, they sell houses. They give great customer service. And so I started to panic a little bit. But then, you know, I went in. I did an interview with each and every one of them, and you know, really just like, you know, walk them through the process of sharing their story with me. And at the end, everyone was totally different. Because every person, no matter whether they have a career that looks on the face of it like, you know, thousands of other people, they bring a unique experience, a unique way that they look at the world, a unique background. Because, like, you know, there's millions of people that are quote unquote marketing experts, but nobody is me because I do have a very specific background. I have a very unique way that I approach the world. And I really work with my clients to help them discover what that is about them, what makes them unique, what sets them apart, and how are they different from the other, you know, 10,000 people that come up when you do a Google search for their category.
So if our listeners are interested in learning more about your book that's coming out, how could they find you?
Okay, I have a website. It's called likeaboomerang.com. And they can go there. They can read about me. And then they can also opt into my newsletter. And I have a newsletter that I send out that's going to have updates about the things that are going on with the book, particularly because it's scheduled to come out in the fall.
So likeaboomerang.com is your website, and people can go to that website and sign up for your newsletter through that. Okay, great. All right. So now, what are some of the things that our listeners should consider if they're considering a reinvention or currently in the process of reinventing themselves right now?
Okay. The first thing I would say is to really get in touch with what motivates you. You know, really spend the time, do the work. Work with a coach, whatever it takes to really decide what it is that lights you up. Because once you really start reinventing yourself, you're going to face a lot of challenges. You know, they're going to be boulders in the road. They're going to be, things that you have to deal with. And if you don't have a real passion for what you're doing, if you are not just really lit up by the possibility that you see for yourself in this new future, you're not going to make it. So you have to just really do the work, do a lot of soul searching, and also be willing to readjust your course. There's this really great book that I just finished reading. The title of it is Wild. It's the story of a woman who hiked from part of the Sierra Nevada. And if she was in a process of reinvention. She was very young, but she just went through a horrible tragedy. And so this hike was sort of a metaphor for her reinventing herself. And there was one scene where she comes across, there's a tree across the trail. And so she can't turn and go back. She can't go around it. She basically has to go over it. But she's been driven by this huge passion to complete her journey. And that's how it is when you're an entrepreneur. Like, things are going to happen. They're going to be bumps in the road. They're going to be things that seem to be setbacks, but you just really have to be committed and see those setbacks not as setbacks, but as just a way to readjust your path and to learn something about yourself, maybe about your clients and about your business, and just take everything that comes in front of you as a way to deepen your journey and your path of reinvention.
Well, what's interesting to me, Kimberly, is that readjustment has always been, at least for me, the moments when I have grown the most and learned the most. As in practice, as I evolve and grow and learn and do, I find I want to challenge myself more. So if that helps anybody, that is really cool. So, you know, my show is called Attitude Adjustment. Mm-hmm. I would love for you to share two things in your professional opinion that you think our listeners can do to shift their attitude.
Well, one thing that I really love that really helps me is meditating. I'm a Zen practitioner, and I meditate daily. And then every opportunity I get, we have intensives throughout the year. And that's when you go and basically you spend 12 hours or so just really meditating and learning how to focus your attention and all that. So I found that very helpful. And I feel like, the time I spend on meditation and other things that improve my spiritual connection, that's been just really priceless to me in my own personal reinvention over these last couple of years.
Now, I know people tell me that they lose their focus, et cetera, and they can't meditate. Do you give them, is there any advice you'd give those listeners?
What's so interesting is that I was always that kid who couldn't sit still. I'm convinced if I was a young child today, they would be diagnosing me as ADD because I could not sit still or be quiet. I used to get my mouth taped shut when I was young. And so I remember the very first time I did a deep meditation. I was so proud of myself. I said I should call my mother and tell her I sat still for 30 minutes. So it's not as hard as you think it is going to be going into it. I was actually about myself. I was very skeptical that I could ever even meditate for 5 minutes, much less 30. But my advice is to find a group. I belong to a center where we meditate as a group, and there's something about being in a group, the support that you receive from other people. Maybe even just get some friends together, because there really is something about that support that you have. And also just take it one moment at a time. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I've done is I've read several books. If you go to the library, there's some excellent books about the practice of meditation. And the other thing I've used through the years is apps. There's several places you can go and download apps that have, you know, like guided meditations. Actually, that's really how I got started a few years ago. The Silva Method is what I used, and they have like this whole series of apps, many of them free, and you can just go and listen to those, and they teach you how to guide your breath and how to focus your attention and that. So I found that extremely useful, and I highly recommend that.
And another thing, I agree with you on that, and one more thing that you think people could do to change their attitude.
Well, one thing that really helps me is physical activity. I get up every morning. Of course, I have a dog, and she inspires me, but I try to walk 2 miles a day. And to me, that really just reconnects me with the beauty of where I live, and it just kind of gives me a little vacation. You know, I'm away from my computer, I'm away from my desk, I'm away from my to-do list, and I really just try to use that as almost a type of meditation. I'm outdoors, it's beautiful. They're, you know, blooming things, and just, and I meet, you know, friendly people. And so that's one thing that's always kept me grounded and sane, is trying to do at least 30 minutes of physical activity outdoors if I can. If not, you know, I can do the treadmill or whatever. But, you know, living here in Southern California, I'm blessed to be able to be outdoors about at least 30 minutes a day.
We certainly are out here. So, Kimberly, if one of our listeners knows somebody or themselves is looking at reinventing themselves, could you describe some of the benefits that they gain from going through the process themselves of reinventing their careers?
Certainly. What I would say is to just, like I said, take a really deep look at who you are. And what are your motivations? What are your goals? What do you aspire to? What are your dreams? What are the things that keep calling you? And that's a really good place to start. One of the reasons I called the book Like a Boomerang is because many of the people I've spoken with, and myself included, people, especially when they're 50 or better and they're doing a reinvention, they tend to go back to things that called them previously. Just like I did. You know, I love the stories. I love doing puppets and all this sort of thing. But that didn't seem practical. You know, I felt like I needed to have like a serious business career. And then, so I did. I started doing banking, and I got an MBA, and I did all this other stuff, which is, you know, which I call upon now in the work that I do. But it's really good to go back and review the places you've been and the things that really, really spoke to you, and maybe try to reconnect to some of those things in your next iteration.
Very interesting. We are going to be ending the show in just a little bit. However, I would love for you to give us some closing inspiration, some closing reinvention of anything that you would like to share.
Well, a couple of things more about benefits. I feel like additional benefits are, first of all, you're like really reconnecting to your passion, but is statistics show that people who are passionate about what they do and are really in touch with themselves and what inspires them live longer. They not only live longer, but they live healthier. So that's just another benefit. And I think that's probably the biggest thing of all, is that when you really are passionate about what you do on a daily basis, you don't have, you don't pay as much attention to the negatives that may come along. You're just really
so
focused
on
your inspiration.
So, basically, what are some, just briefly, some other things you learned that you would like to share in closing?
Well, your life is an incredible journey. And sometimes, as you mentioned earlier, the things that seem like obstacles or roadblocks, those are the things that really teach us about ourselves and about other people. So we need to embrace those things. And I feel like for me, it's much more about the journey. You know, I'm going to be very excited the day that the book is finished, but right now I'm just really loving every day, loving all the wonderful people I meet, and you know, they really do inspire me. The stories I hear of people and the things they've accomplished and the things they're going to accomplish truly is inspiring.
So if any of our listeners are looking at reinventing themselves and maybe want to be in your book, is that a possibility?
I would love to talk with them.
There you go. So anyone out there listening to the show today, if you are in the process of reinventing yourself and you would like to talk to Kimberly, they can go to your website, correct?
Yes, there's an email connection there.
Okay, and email Kimberly, and you guys can set up a connection. Well, it has been quite a treat to have you on our show today. It has been great to have you, Kimberly. You can reach her by going to her website, which is www.likeaboomerang.com. Please join us on the second and fourth Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you will continue to gain insights and inspiration from each of my guests. You are guaranteed to leave with two ways you can adjust your attitude. We look forward to our next show on Tuesday, June 10th, with Dr. Karen Wolfe, Australian physician, health coach, author, and international speaker. For more information, contact me, Dr. Iris Rosenfeld. My email is driris@driris.com and my website, www.driris.com. And I'd like to leave everybody with a thought for today by Buckminster Fuller. There is nothing in a caterpillar that tells you it's going to be a butterfly. Everybody have a healthful day.
What it is, but it is gonna be great. With a click, with a shock, phone will jingle, door will knock. Open the latch, something's coming, don't know when, but it's soon. Catch the moon.